Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
So, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for, Lord, just the privilege of being in your presence this day, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you meet us right where we are. You accept us, Lord, just as we are. And Lord, you just love for us to talk with you. You love for us to share what's in our hearts. And that's what we ask for this day, Lord, that our hearts would come as one with yours this morning, Lord. Thank you for every person that is here. Thank you, Lord, that when we walk out of this building, we will not be the same person that walked in this building, Lord. You always have so much more, Lord. There's always more, Lord, and that's what we ask for this day. Bless us with more of you. We thank you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, stand.
How many of you know this morning that we're blessed that we can call on Him anytime? You know, when Moses is talking to the burning bush, right? He's pretty set on that. I have these things that I can't do all of that on my own, right? See, being underqualified for things can be a blessing in your life, because sometimes that's when you're most willing to listen to Him and lean on Him for things, right? But see, we're always qualified because He's the one who can do it all. Every part of it. See, I love this because it's not just, this is only going through a few things, right? Jehovah Nissi, fight my battles. Jehovah Jireh, meet my needs, right? But when He says in the Old Testament that I am the I am, He's saying, I am the gap for everything. I'm the healer. I am the counselor. I am the one who makes you strong. I am the peace giver. I am the one who gives you joy. I am the one who can give you life and life more abundantly. I am the one who can give you eternal life. I am the one who can set you up and make you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. I am. See, that's the power of who you believe in, who you walk with, is that He is in every situation. He is the one in everything. Woo! It's a blessing that you have communication with the one who can do it all. Every last bit. Woo! I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. Because see, that is victory in itself. That in Him, we have it all.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, I've got a word to tell you guys. The Lord wants me to tell you guys before we sing this next song. We're going to talk about faith. What is faith? What is faith? Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And all your ways submit to Him, and He will make path straight. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is confidence. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for, all assurance about what we do not see. Sisters, we don't see it, but we believe it. We have to believe in our Lord. I've had many testimonies. And God showed me, daughter, walk in faith. doctors told me I had, or supposedly, I have a liver disease. I have arthritis and this and that and a bunch of other stuff. But I learned by coming and communication, friendship with my Lord Jesus, our Savior, that we do not call any disease on our bodies. We lay it at our Lord's feet. I threw away, brothers and sisters, my medication. And this has been a year ago. Trusting the Lord. I flushed them down the toilet. Flushed them down the toilet. And guess what? Before I did that, oh, my back hurts. Oh, my knees hurt. My bones crack when I get up off the couch. Everything bothered me. As soon as I started putting my faith in our Lord and flushed those pills down the toilet, everything went away. And I feel amazing. Amazing for a whole year. You don't say, oh, my arthritis. Oh, my cancer. Oh, all those nasty stuff. That does not come from God. So, brothers and sisters, if you are going through any disease in your body, if you're going through cancer, if you're going through any ugliness in your body, God did not give that to you. Don't call it upon you. Don't say, my cancer. Don't say that. Say, thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you. Talk to it. Talk to your body. Talk to your body. You have back problems, knee problems, whatever it is, any organ in your body, talk to it. Say, no, you don't belong. You don't belong in my body. Jesus, you paid for it. When we were saved, brothers and sisters, when we accepted the Lord in our hearts, guess what? We said, Jesus, forgive our sins. And what did he do? Phew, he forgot about them. They're behind us, way back there. They're way back there. So he paid for everything. And when we pray with faith and when we believe, it's about believing. And we say, by your stripes, we are healed. Every drop of blood that he shed for us. Like when Jesus walked in this world. I don't know. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I mean, I never talk this much. I'm so sorry. But the Lord is putting this in my heart. He didn't let me sleep till 5 o'clock this morning. But that's why. Because he wanted me to deliver this message. And when Jesus walked this world, you remember that lady that was on her knees and touched his garment? Why and how did she do it? Why did she do it? Because she had faith, brothers and sisters. She touched that garment with faith. And the Lord, Jesus was like, who touched me? I felt that. Who touched me? And she cried. And she cried and says, I'm so sorry. It was me, Jesus. It was me. I believed in you. I have faith in you. And immediately she was healed. She was healed. The same God back then is the same God now, brothers and sisters. Now. There's a lot of... I'm sorry. I don't want to step on any toes, but there's a lot of lukewarm churches out there. The Lord put that in my heart also. We need to love on each other. It's all about love. Love on each other. Don't look at your neighbor and say, oh, why are you wearing that? Look at your makeup. Oh, you didn't put enough hairspray on. No. We're not here to criticize each other. We're here to love on each other. We need to be stronger in our community. We need to be stronger in the house of God. And I just wanted to share this with you. And don't think like anger, depression, anxiety, bills, divorces, all of that. Give it to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. You need to believe God can change anybody. He spread the Red Sea. He spread the Red Sea wide open. So please, 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 don't point any fingers. Just love on everybody. Love on everybody. Don't say, oh, jealousy, oh, anger, oh, this, oh, that. The Lord wants us to love on each other. It all starts in our hearts. It all starts in our hearts. Thank you. Love you guys. Love you guys so much.
We're gonna move into our next song, but going off of what Gina says, I have a testimony about not just hearing what God says, but actually stepping into it. I think I shared with you guys actually a while back that like we were doing this club team, right? And this year, God really taught us a lot about letting Him fight on our behalf. And can I tell you, it was hard in the beginning. Now it's easy. But when He first told us, you know, we had some parents. Sometimes, you know, dealing with the parents is the hardest part, right? Of like coaching and doing all that stuff. But that's the thing, is we had some parents that were really talking bad about us, saying some stuff. And you know, what's your first reaction when somebody talks bad about you? It's like, oh, I gotta defend myself. Do you know what I mean? Like, they can't say that about me. Like, that's not how I am. That's not who I am, right? And I know at first, both Oscar and I were both like, okay, we gotta call this mom. We gotta talk to her. And we still we wanted to do it in a loving way. But Oscar and I were talking and he told me, he goes, I heard God tell me, like, nope, you don't need to say nothing. Don't say anything. And I was like, what? Like, nothing? So I was like, okay. So I told Oscar and Oscar was like, okay, then we won't say anything, right? Well, you know, sometimes when God puts us in situations, right? See, this is exactly what Gina was talking about. This is the power of realizing that every situation, even when it looks bad to you, is working together for good. It really is, right? And so come like a while later, still hearing that she's talking bad about us. Come a little bit later, we have some kids quit our team because the mom was talking bad about us. You know what I mean? There's, you know, things happening. And all those things were just, again, if we're only paying attention to our emotions and our flesh, we both were like, we got to deal with this. Like, we got to do something about this. You know what I mean? Like, but God still was like, nope. Like, see, that's the thing, guys. The word tells us that, you know, the scripture that talks about just standing still and letting Him fight for us. See, that's the thing. Sometimes that being still and just looking at Him, that is Him fighting for us. That is Him dealing with us and helping us and growing us in Him, right? And that's the thing, is so we had these parents were still talking and stuff, and we're still not going to do it. We're still not going to talk about it. Well, anyways, new circumstance came up. There was something else that happened. Okay, it's okay. We've already learned this lesson. Like, God knows what's happening. We just got to stay focused on who He is, what He's called us to do. And we are going to love on these people, regardless of what they're saying about us, regardless of what they're doing. And to be honest with you, we're called to ministry with these kids. We know that. Which is why we coach, right? It takes up a lot of time. We don't get, like, we don't make all this money off of it, right? It's not that. It's just, we want to build the kingdom of God. That's it. And see, when your heart stays after God, He'll help you in every avenue, every single one. There's not one that's gonna come up that's not taken care of for you already. Sometimes we get in the way, right? Oh, but I gotta. Oh, but I need to. Oh, but I'm stubborn and I'm gonna do this regardless, right? See, we start to reflect the Father when we act like Him, not like what's easy, right? And And so we did. We're going to love on these kids. Every time we see those parents, we're going to, hi, how are you? We're not going to ignore them. We're not going to just walk past them. We're not going to, all those things, right? Well, cut to this weekend. It's been like over a year that this is all, right? So see, sometimes things don't happen like right away, but God's working, right? But come to this last weekend. And we had both these kids play on our team because they asked. And we had the parents and everything. And there was no discord. There was no issue. There was no, see, I don't know what was happening there, but I know they knew how we felt. Like, we're still going to love you. We're still going to welcome you in. We're not going to hold things against you. We're not going to say, oh, sorry, but we're not going through that again, right? No. They asked and we said, it's up to your parents. If they want you to, we'd love to have you play. And see, church, when we learn to focus on God first in everything, allow Him to teach us, allow Him to grow us. See, our actions will reflect that faith that Gina was talking about. We won't just hear God say something and say, but I really think this is better, right? No, we'll hear God say something. We'll say, okay, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm taking the step. Here we go, right? See, that's where we see God begin to move in our lives. When we see things begin to change, when we see things really, really move in the way that God desires for us. It's where we become effective. It's where we look like the kingdom. See, it's time for the church to realize that we're not just here to come to church on Sunday and say we did our part. See, there's a relationship that's extremely important that we need to actually go through that renewing of our mind and transformation that's supposed to happen so that we look more like the Father, like the one we were created to look like. See, we're meant to be set apart. We're not meant to treat people the same way that everybody else does. It's why, you're right, unity comes in realizing that we're not meant to tear each other down. We're meant to build each other up. We're meant to love on each other. God says, right, that what's the most important of these? What does He say in the Bible? Love, right? That we love. Because love is so much a reflection of who He is. And when you shine it, you show exactly what it is that you're... See, that's the thing. That's why for so long people have thought, yeah, you go to church. Okay, yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. See, when we start showing who God is, it's going to be undeniable. That light that we're meant to be, it's going to shine so bright. And not because of us, but because of who He is in us. That's just shining through.
This would be like confirmation things that we're two or more. Recently, a friend of mine in Florida, we were talking about pretty much the same thing that I think that you were saying, that you should not be on first name basis with diseases. And so when I was talking to my friend about her, she said that Jesus gave her an instance and said to her, whenever you were given a diagnosis, she never said cancer to herself. She wouldn't even speak cancer. And God said to her, you are not to be on a first name basis. And so a lot of people will say my headache or my this or my heart attack. Don't say my. And so that's, you know, that's just another confirmation. And then the other thing of whenever people are saying bad things about you and that you need to defend yourself, that happened to me this week in the past week, place where I used to be the manager, and there are people talking about this and that, and I was going to call and tell them, defend myself, and God said, you have nothing to defend yourself for, and when you do that, it's like you're protesting too much. And then they say, well, why are you trying to defend yourself? He'll defend you. You don't need to defend yourself. So those are just two things that's, you know. Okay.
Okay, I'm not going to try to spoil too much about our camp, but camp is always like one of my favorite events that we always go to because it's like, it's 3-4 days that we're there, and everybody there, all the kids are just there for God and there for Jesus, just to learn about him. So right now they're singing this song about his name. And the first day that the speaker, Micah Mack, spoke, the title of his sermon was his name. And he like told us a little story about how there was this 3-year-old boy in a store making bird noises, and that he said the little kid inside him responded back in the store with his bird noises, and that soon the whole store was making bird noises. So it just, he said it sounded like a forest in the middle of a store. But he said just because that 4-year-old or 3-year-old kid could make the bird noises in the store, what do we think 14-year-old, 15-year-old kids nowadays could do to spread the name of Jesus? So in the song, it says, there's freedom in your name, there's healing in your name. And it just, he had put so many points that his name is so powerful. And he always has the thing at the end of his sermon, it's a big what if. And he said, things change when you call on his name. When you call on his name, he's always there. You can call on his name and he will come running to you. He's not just gonna sit there and be like, oh, you're calling me? No, he's running after you. And that's the thing, is if you notice that he's just gonna keep running and running, then just keep calling on his name. There is so much power in his name, and everybody, I feel like, sometimes can go silent because they're like, oh, his name is so powerful. You can go home and at camps, they call it a camp high, where at camp, you'll be so on fire for God, but then you'll come home and then you're like, well, I'm back to where I was before. But no, there's no such thing as a camp high when you have his name that you can be speaking to anybody and everybody. And anyone, everywhere, any place that you want to, his name needs to be spoken to everybody.
So if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, that there will be flowing rivers of living water. So recently I just saw a movie on Netflix. It's called The Forge. And the guy was talking to a young gentleman. He was telling him that a lot of the times when we have this walk, and it's just your walk in general, we tend to become very selfish. And well, how he described it was a drain. So what he told him is, become a fountain instead of a drain. So when you become a fountain, you're pouring out. You're pouring to people, giving what you have to others, just like Jesus did. When you become a drain, you take and take and take and take. So I just want to encourage everybody here, be a fountain. Try it out. Don't be a drain. Don't drain people out. Be a fountain. Thank you.
Yes. Yeah, thank you, man. Yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, come on. Hallelujah. Don't be a drain. Amen. Praise God. Be a fountain. Is that right? Glory to God. How many of you know it's good to be in the house of the Lord?
Yes.
Are you glad to be here?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Or you guys just come to sit down? No? Raise your hand if you do. Man, I'll tell you what, playing the guitar, I need to buy me one of those jigs. What do they call them things? It's got a, you don't have a wire on it. Cordless? Is that what, yeah. I can get up with my guitar and start running around all you guys. Can I say amen to that? Maybe we can get you at least a move. Is that okay? I said it last week. I'm going to say it again. You know, you might be uncomfortable in heaven when you see all your family acting like jumping beans around the throne of God. Can you say amen to that? Jumping. God. So don't get distracted. Hey, I'm a worshiper.
Amen.
Yeah, and maybe you guys aren't and everything, but I will tell you something, that God watches you. He sees your heart. If you feel like jumping, just get up. If you just feel like moving, just get up and do something. Wave your hand. Hallelujah. Go, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Do something, man. But come on. Hallelujah. This is a Pentecostal church.
Yes.
¿Qué pasó? You want to talk? No.
No.
It's my turn. Yeah, go ahead, Stevie. Praise God. Hallelujah.
I've been pretty excited this week. Just, I don't know what the Lord is doing. He's doing something big. Not sure what it is. But I know, I've heard a number of stories. One of them was that the youth nowadays, and I believe this is true, are getting sick and tired of the corruption.
Come on.
And all of the lies and everything that we've been dealing with for so, so long. And they want the truth. They're putting aside their stuff, all their drugs, all their motorcycles, all their whatever they're doing. They're putting it aside and saying, we want the truth.
Come on, man.
Who's got the truth? You and I.
Come on, man. Praise God.
You and I. If we walk in the word, we walk it. The Lord said, every step that I give you is a step that is given. It's going to be ordered for you to go out and talk to these folks and the kids. Let's recruit them. Recruit them, excuse me. Bring them in.
Bring them in.
If there's anybody who's going to get excited, it's the youth. They can jump. I've seen it with my own two eyes. Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I just wanted to say, you know, that we are all, every one of us in this room is at a different stage of where God is taking you to do what's going to happen here very shortly, I believe.
Amen.
To prepare us for what's coming. And part of that's going to be the youth. Part of it's going to be flooding of this place with people that are searching for God. They want to know answers. They want answers. Why is this happening? Amen?
Amen. Praise God.
And we have the answers. I have the answers inside of here. Come my on. Heart and my spirit soar sometimes. And I'm just like, well, that's how I write songs too. You know, I listen to what Pastor Henry has to say. I listen to Terry and I listen to all these different people that I love. And I take notes. And eventually, a song comes out of that.
There you go. Come on, man.
It's amazing.
Amen. Praise God.
It's really quite amazing.
Praise God.
But anyway, I'm excited. Let's get excited.
Amen.
Come on.
Praise God.
Amen. You don't have to jump up and down. I want to know.
Oh, yeah, they do. Oh, yeah. Don't say that. Don't say it. Oh, yeah, they do. You know, it's funny, man, because, you know, yeah, It might scare folks when they walk in the house, they see a bunch of people jumping around. Is that okay? Is that right? But you guys, you just tell me, hey, this pastor, and he wants us to jump. Is that okay? Or he wants us to move around. But I think worship really should be a great expression to God of how thankful you are, how much you appreciate and you love him. And the more I get around God, the more God hangs around me. He dwells inside of me. And the more that I move in ways that I feel like he's prescribed for me to, but I will tell you, the presence of God comes on you. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. And in that joy, in that fullness of God's presence, I believe that sickness and disease cannot stay. It will do something. It will begin to cure and to move cells and anything that's contrary to God's word out of your body just by getting up and moving around. Hey, you don't have to do it here, but do it at home. When you're by yourself. Do it at home. Jump around. Get up and move. Make your body move. Can you say amen to that? You are in charge of this vessel that God gave you. You're in charge by him. He's given you charge over this thing. Is that okay? Go ahead and move. Go ahead and jump. Go ahead and run. Go ahead and lay down and just plant your face in the rug if you need to. But I tell you, do something. Hallelujah. Do it at home and then bring it here. Can you say amen to that? Come on, do it at home. Bring it here. You don't have to be like me. Man, maybe your thing is a flag. Is that right? Maybe it's a flag you want to wave around. Maybe it's a dance. Yeah, you can do that here too. You can worship God in a dance. Is that okay? But do something. Can I say that to you? You want me to? Can I be real honest with you? I'm going to be real honest with you. I keep my face down when I'm playing. Because when I look up, I don't see people worshiping. I don't see, maybe, you know, but maybe everybody's worshiping this way. But I tell you, that's not what I'm used to. What I'm used to is movement. I'm used to doing something with my hands, jumping, whatever. You might see me running around here. Run, but you know what? Do what you feel, what the Lord has got, what he's placed in you to do, I'll tell you. Be led by the Spirit. If he tells you to jump, jump. If he tells you to sing, if he tells you to dance, if he tells you to wave a flag, if he tells you to do a jig, is that okay? Do a jig for Jesus, is that okay? Hallelujah. How do you do a jig? I don't know how to do a jig. Somebody show me how to do a jig. Anybody? Anybody? Yeah, forget it. That's whatever. Dance a jig. You know, some people get offended with talk like this. With a pastor encouraging you to move, because I know it's good for you. I know that God will begin to move within you. The presence of God will begin to react to something in your body that needs work. Can you say amen? How many know we all need work? Is that okay? We all need work. This, folks, this is not a movie theater. If it was, we'd sell you popcorn so you could sit and watch us. Is that okay? Is that all right? This is not a movie theater. This is a spirit-filled church. Spirit-filled church. And there's fire in this church. And there's fire in each and every. You know what? I'm surprised that I don't have to stop you guys coming up to talk at the mic. I'm surprised that, because I know most of you have a word. I know most of you have God's doing something within you. Just give me that mic, man. I gotta say something for Jesus. I'm surprised I don't have to say, hey, okay, that's enough. I gotta preach. But folks, listen. If you won't do it here, you won't do it out there. You won't do it. You'll stay quiet. It takes a little bit of boldness just to start moving in here. Can you say amen? Is that right, Johnny? Come on, Pastor John. Yeah. Pastor John, you can tell he's stood on his head a long time on the rug. I better stop. I better get going. Hey, you know the title of today's sermon is called Fire. Look at your neighbor and say, fire. Look at him. Say fire again. Fire. Hey. Tell him fire within you. Fire within you. I'm going to start in Isaiah chapter 6. Starting at verse 1. And I love these scriptures. I love what it's presenting here. And it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple, and above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain, or with two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with two, he did fly. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full. Everybody say full.
Full.
Full. The whole earth is full of his glory. This is a prophetic statement. Can you say amen? Isaiah is listening to it. These angels are prophetically proclaiming the earth is full of his glory. Do you know that the earth is full of his glory? Do you know his glory dwells in you by the Holy Spirit? Do you know that? The glory of the Lord is within you. So the kingdom of God is within you. Can you say amen to that? Hallelujah. And the angels are proclaiming the earth is full of the glory of God. Woo, I want to see it. I want to see it. I'm hungry to see it. Woo. And here Isaiah is watching this. He's, oh man, check out them angels. And the posts of the door moved, and the voice of him that cried, at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. I was reading this one time, and the Lord said something to me. He says, my house doesn't shake. Isaiah said the doors of the posts of the doors began to move. when that voice began to was speaking. The Lord was telling me, you know, Henry, my house doesn't shake. It's on a firm foundation. What does begin to move is our hearts. When the Lord starts speaking, your heart begins to beat. Your heart begins to, the posts of the doors begin to move. You get touched by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Then I said, now Isaiah begins to speak. Woe is me, he says, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King. How many of you guys want to see the King? I mean, I want a physical. I'm desiring a physical. I can see him when I read the Word. I can see him all over the Word, but I want to see him. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that the pure in heart will see God. Is that okay? That's okay with me. I want to see him. He says, I'm a man of unclean lips, is what Isaiah said. I'm undone. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord. You know that song, We Shall See the King? Do you remember? Does anybody remember that? We Shall See the King. Does anybody remember this song? Nobody? We shall see the King when he comes. He's coming with power. We'll hail the blessed hour. We shall see the King when he comes. Wow, I haven't heard sang that song in a long time. I'm surprised it came up. Woo, that's the Holy Ghost right there. We're going to see the King. We're gonna hail the blessed hour that when we see the King. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. Well, that felt good to me. I don't know about you guys, but I think I'm done. I can go home now. I hope I got water. Did I tell you that we didn't have no water this morning? Late in the middle of the night, I told Rosie, I think the power's off. And one of the things, I look over to see if the clock's there, and the clock wasn't, it was off. They go, hey, the power's off. Somebody had hit a pole down the street from our house and knocked it silly. I'm sure that knocked them silly. I don't know how. It looked bad. Did you see the pole, Gina? Oh man, it was a steel pole, not a wooden pole. It was a steel pole. They're brand new, and it was squished into about that. And it looked like whatever hit it climbed it and put a big crease in it. And they were taking a new pole over this morning. And I'm praying that we're going to have power when we get back. But I'm sure we will. Those guys work pretty good. I don't even know why I start telling you that. Information. Write it down. Write it down, John. Poll. Yeah, poll. Power is out. Maybe that's what we're talking about. John and I were talking the other day. Well, what's going on with our church? I don't know. Yeah, maybe it's the power's out. Come on. Maybe we're walking in ourselves too much and not in the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen to that, Steve? Maybe the power's out. Oh, God, man. Ooh, oh, hey. But we need them men. We need those guys to come and put up a new pole and fix it and turn the power back on. Can you say amen to that? Lord, send your angels, God. Lord, Holy Spirit, put the power back on. Flip the switch in our lives, God. Amen. Hallelujah. Wow, man. Crazy. I don't know what I'm talking about. Yes, I do. I know what I'm talking about. He says, my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And he says, then flew one of the seraphims to me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away. Isn't that nice? And your sin is purged. Whoa, I like what this angel is telling Isaiah. It said he went over, Isaiah watched him go and to the altar of sacrifice. You know, the altar of sacrifice is a symbol of where Jesus was sacrificed, you know? And there was a fire in that sacrifice, do you know? There was Jesus, there when he gave up his life for us, there was a fire that he was representing on that cross. And this angel goes and picks up a live coal, a living coal, if you will, or a bright coal, or a hot coal. I read a lot of translations, so there's a lot of different, in making some of the, a lot of different words for this. This one says a live coal. Another one said a hot coal. Another one said a bright coal. But nevertheless, it was hot. Can you say amen to that? And he touched it to Isaiah's lips, and the angel spoke something to him. What did he tell him? This has touched your lips. This coal from the altar of sacrifice has touched your lips. And your sin is purged. You like that? How many are glad your sins are purged? Amen. You don't need to go to God anymore and say, God, forgive me, I'm a sinner. No, you're not. You're not a sinner anymore. You're saved by the blood of Christ. But you might do some actions that are contrary to that salvation. And that God knows about. And he's not calling you a sinner. He's calling you a son. He loves you. And he says, we're going to work that out of you, mijo, mija. We're going to work it out of you. Is that okay? Are you glad that God cares about you to work the things that are contrary to him out of you?
Yes. Yeah.
Because he wants you walking with a new man, not with the old man. Hallelujah. Says your sins are purged. Let me just finish up this. And also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Isn't it funny how when your sin is, when God removes your sin, isn't it funny how now all of a sudden you can hear? Now I hear God. And God's asking, who will I send? Who will go for us? Oh, I love this, man. And Isaiah, watch what Isaiah says. And the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And then Isaiah said, here am I, send me. I love that. Yeah. That's me. Hey. It was another, well, I don't know, who will you send, Lord? Yeah, I wonder who you will send. Well, Isaiah's quick, send me. Yeah. And God tells him this very specifically. He said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but you don't understand. See you indeed, but you perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and convert and be healed. Can you say amen to that? Amen. That's his word to Isaiah. Go tell them. So Isaiah goes and he did. And a couple chapters later, he says these very things. But isn't it neat how quick he said, "Here am I," because now his sins were cleansed. See, he didn't pause to say, "Well, I can't do that because I'm a sinner." He was very quick to hear and to respond and believe the word that God had put him, had spoken to him. What the angel had told him, this thing has removed your iniquities and purged your sin. Now Isaiah says, yeah, that's cool. I'm done. I don't have to die. He thought he was going to die because he'd seen the king. But now he says, I'll go tell him. Isn't that cool? What a change of heart. What a change of heart he had. It's incredible. But that angel told him, you're going to get, this has purged your sin. I'm going to look at the Greek word for purge. And it's diakatharizo. How do you like that? Say that real quick. Tell me that back. Diakatharizo. 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 That's the Greek word for purge. It means to perfectly, to cleanse perfectly. Is that cool? When you're purged, you're cleansed perfectly. To winnow. That's not win now, but that's a good word. Win now. But it's winnow and thoroughly purged. I'll talk about winnow just a little bit. We're going to look at John the Baptist. So let's go to Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Just remember this word, whatever, I can't remember now. Thank you, Terry. Yeah, praise God. Luke chapter 3, verses 1, starting at verse 1, says this, now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, he's the king, is that right? Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being the governor of Judea, Herod being a tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea, and of the region of Trachonitis. That's a throat disease. Yeah, whatever. All right. And Licinius, the tetrarch of Abilene. That's in Texas. Yeah. And Annas. Now look at the people. First, go back to this for a minute. Look at the people. We got Caesar, we got Pontius Pilate, we got Herod, Philip, the throat guy, Trachonitis, and Licinius of Abilene. And now we have Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests. See that? Beautiful statement right here, right after that. Of all these powerful guys, amen, even the high priests, the word of the Lord came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. Isn't that cool? Isn't that cool? Who'd the word go to? The important guys? Oh, man. Oh, no. The one that had a heart for God. Amen? How many have a heart for God? How many want to hear God? No, really. How many do you want to hear God? Because I'll tell you, some people are afraid to hear God. But don't be afraid, because he loves you. He's going to do something for you. He wants to do great things for you. I love this. I love that section of scripture. It says, and he came to the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance and remission of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled. Can you say amen? Every valley will be filled. Every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight. And the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. Then said he to the multitude that came forth to be baptized of him. John is a nice guy. Oh, generation of vipers. You bunch of snakes. Who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, some fruits worthy to repentance.
Begin not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say to you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Ooh, man, what a guy. We're talking about fire, guys. Amen. We're talking about a man full of the Holy Ghost, full of fire. Not holding back. Amen. Did he hold back anything? Oh, man. You know why? Because the word of God came to him. If the word of God comes, you don't hold back. Can we put a mic up here for you? If the word of God comes, you don't hold back. I need the word of God as much as everybody else does. Can you say amen to that? Amen. I need someone to minister to me too, as much as everybody else did. And I will tell you, it would minister to me greatly if the people that were coming to this house would begin to open their mouth and declare the things of God to the congregation. That would minister to me like crazy. That would be such an encouragement. Can I tell you that I might go home sometimes not as encouraged as I think, because I think, are they hearing me, God? Do they understand that what you're asking them to do? See, I didn't say, hey, I want you guys, I didn't just come up a day and I say, well, I want you guys to come up to the mic and start speaking. I didn't do that. I went to Pastor John. This is what God told me. He wants me to put a mic there for people to talk. And John goes, oh, I don't know if we need to do that or not. Well, problem is, I had to tell him, but the problem is we were commanded to do it. Because it will strengthen the body of Christ. Do you understand that? And so, fire is something that when God begins to pour something into you, that fire will look for a release. And this is a good release right here. Not to put people down, but to build them up, to strengthen them and say, hey, man, God desires to do a work in your life that you're not even aware of. Because his spirit knows you personally, and he's going to take you personally to where he needs you. There's a young lady in the church today. Eddie was at a gas station. And he said hello to her in the side, but he went outside, and she went to go tell him hi. I don't know the whole story. Hopefully she'll get up and tell us. I don't know where she's at, but there she is. But she saw Eddie glowing like a lamp, I guess. I don't know. Isn't that right, sister? Yeah. And Eddie said to her, imagine, you know what? Come to our church. We'll pray for you and your family and your mom, and God will do something in your life. Do something for him. Open your mouth. Let God do something in your life. Amen. Hallelujah. For I say to you that God is able of these stones to raise up children to Abraham, and now also the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And the people asked him, saying, what shall we do then? And he answered and said unto them, he that has two coats, let him impart to him that has none. He that has meat, let him do likewise. Then came also publicans to be baptized. And he said to them, and said to him, Master, what shall we do? And he said to them, exact no more than that which is appointed thee. And the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, and what shall we do? See, look at all these classes of people that are hearing John speak, and now they're touched, and they're saying, what do we do? What do we got to do? And he tells the soldiers, do violence to no man. Neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages. I like John the Baptist telling those soldiers, hey, man, be happy with what they pay you. And as the people were in expectation, all men mused in their heads of John, whether he were the Christ or not. And John knew it. They were wondering if he's Jesus, if he's the Christ that was to come. They're wondering, is this the man?
John answered, saying to them all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I comes, and the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with what?
Fire.
John is speaking prophetically. He's saying this is what will happen to the child of God. Anyone that believes. Peter said, I said it last week, that Peter told them, this gift is to all and any of you that believe. Is that okay? He's going to baptize you with fire. And then he goes on to say, whose fan is in his hand. What does God's fan look like? Do you anybody know? What does his fan look like? Is it a big fan? Is it a circular fan? Is it one of those little things that the ladies... What does his fan look like? His fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather the wheat to the gardener, and the chaff will he burn with fire unquenchable. Is that okay? Go back to that. I want to talk to you just a little bit about the fan. He says this, I baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. See that purge his floor? He's talking about winnowing. Did you see that in that description of purge earlier, that it said winnowing, right? Win now. He's talking about winnowing. That's where they take the wheat and they gather it in bunches, and they take it and they slam it against the floor. Is that right? You guys know that, right? They slam it up against the floor, and they slam it up against the floor, and they slam it up against the floor, and then they take a fan and they start blowing away all those little pieces that don't, you know, and they get rid of all the stems, and they take a fan and move it around, take the fan, and then they pick up and then they grab it and they do it again. Wham! Wham! Isn't that nice? Ouch! I mean, that's Finn, and he said he's going to thoroughly purge his floor. Purge what? From all those little pieces that are there that are not needed. He's only after the wheat. See, he's talking about the Holy Ghost. And guess what the Holy Ghost is going to do to you? Slam! And slam! And slam! And then just when you think you're doing real good, slam again. Is that okay? Is that right? Because he's breaking something out of you. It's okay for him to do it. Is it okay? Yeah. Is it all right? Yeah. Because we need that. Can you say amen to that? He will thoroughly purge your floor. Can you say amen to that? Yeah. See, the world is looking for men and women, the sons and daughters of God. That's what it says. The whole creation is waiting. Tommy likes to say it like the TPT says it, waiting on tiptoes. I can't do that very good, but waiting on tiptoes for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Can you say amen to that? But it takes the Holy Spirit to thoroughly purge his floor. Boom, that fan is the Holy Ghost. Isn't that cool? That's a beautiful, I'm going to tell you, that's a beautiful description of what's going on. So when you're getting whammed, okay, how many of you have ever been whammed? Man, I'll tell you what, I go through some stuff. And I'll tell you, I realize in the midst of the wham, God, this is you. This is you. You're doing it because you want me to know something, to see something, something to be revealed in my life. Can you say amen to that? I took a bunch of kids to Bisbee to minister in the streets down there, and I got to hurry. Anyway, I took a bunch of kids to minister in the streets down there, and I'm done. No, listen. When I went to preach, I had a message that God had given me that it said, if you do not repent, I will remove the candlestick. And the pastor of that church that we're working with, man, he worked so hard. I love the guy. He was such a hardworking man. He made us food. We were probably maybe a mile and a half away from where his church was. Were you there, Bailey? Yeah, you were. And he was bringing us food. He was bringing us, and
and just treat and bring us drinks and stuff. I mean, he was really being a good host for our youth that were down there to minister in the city. And Sunday morning, we did that Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. We did Saturday and Sunday. And Sunday morning, I went to preach. And while I was preaching, the title of that movie was If You Do Not Repent, God Will Remove Your Candlestick. And while I'm preaching, the Lord said, the message is for this church, not for Bisbee. I thought it was for the city of Bisbee. Because, you know, cities can have all sorts of things going on. But it wasn't for the city of Bisbee. It was for the people in that church. That if you do not repent, I will remove your candlestick. And you guys know, I've said that repenting is not just turning away from. But repenting is changing your mind. Do you know that? It's a change of mind. You change your mind on certain things. And so when he said that, I'm thinking about that pastor, how hard he worked for us. How he served us. So with all his heart, I was surprised because it was him, his wife, and a few others. And Sunday morning, the church was packed. I go, where all these people come from? Is this all your people?
Yeah.
Nobody was around to help him. Not that many. So while I was preaching, the Lord said, the message is for this church. And I didn't want to hurt that pastor. I said, well, oh God. I said, for the church? For this pastor? And he says, and so I said, Lord, I can't tell him this. So I stopped and I asked a young lady to go up and sing for me. She said, hey, can you come up and sing a song? The pastor looks at me. We got up and she got up and that young lady, she sang. I went to the back of the church and I was back there. I said, Lord, I can't see that. The pastor, he helped us so much. And he's such a good guy. I mean, how could I do that and say that to his church? God, I can't do that. And I don't know how long it was, but then I noticed the song was ending. And what I said to him was, Lord, I can't do that. And then I said again, I said, Lord, I won't do it. Oh, wrong word. Went from can't, because if God helps you, you can. Is that right? But when I won't, now we're talking about my will, not his will. Is that okay? And he's not going to cross my will. He said, okay, you won't? Okay. I felt I had an anointing that morning. I could feel it almost like running out on the lawn. Wait a minute. Wait a God. So my heart began to break. So I went back up there and went to go preach. And I said, you know what? I'm going to turn it over to the pastor. And I gave him the mic and I went on out. I went outside, told the kids, as soon as we're done, because they were the musicians that morning. I said, as soon as it's over, bring your instruments back. And man, I felt really small. But you see, God was planning me. He was teaching me something that I didn't realize. The service ended and I'm out there crying, God, I failed you. I failed you. I'm putting the trailer back on the truck. And I go, God, I failed you. And he comes out, the pastor comes out, and he goes, whatever God said to you, you need to tell me. He told me that right to my face. I said, I don't want to tell you. He says, tell me what he said. And I said, well, okay. He said that if you don't repent, and Pastor, I don't know if he's talking about you, but I said, if you don't repent, he's going to remove the candlestick. And I really believe that that pastor was the candlestick. He was the light. And his wife's name was Jody. He looked at me, he goes, Jody! He starts yelling, Jody! And what's he doing? And she comes out, she goes, what? You know how wives are. What? What do you want? Jody! What? Come here. Why? No. He tells her, the evangelist that came last month, bring the paper he gave me. So she goes and she comes back and I'm not sure, but it was like number five. He goes, read number five. And this evangelist had gone down there. And I read number five, and it said to the church of Bisbee, it says, if you do not repent, I will remove your candlestick. And I should have gone, whoo, you know, but it made me feel even, you know, I was this high, I got down to that high. Now I said, nah, because he said to me, bro, you should have said it. You should have told it to the church. God had a message for you to church. And man, I felt bad.
so bad that, man, we came back and unloaded the stuff, and one of the leaders that was helping me, his name was Ralph, and man, he goes, man, Henry, I can tell you you're down. I said, man, I don't know what to do, man. I failed God. And he goes, go home. Yeah, he said, man, let me pray for you. Pray for me. He called pastor over to pray for me, and they prayed for me, and pastor told me, hey, Henry, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. I failed God. I'm not in a good place. I was at the bottom of the bottom, smelling the bottom. It was bad. That was Sunday, Monday morning. I got back to that Monday morning. I was supposed to go to work, and I told Rose, I can't even work, man. Man, I don't know. She goes, well, you need to call in. I said, yeah, I'll call it. And so she left. She had to go to work. I stayed in bed. And while I was staying in bed, I kept saying, God, I failed you. I don't know what to do. And the Lord told me, says, look at 1 Corinthians 13. Huh? Okay. I pull out the Bible. And I'm reading 1 Corinthians 13. And then it says this. It says, love never fails. And I looked at that, and he said, Henry, you didn't fail me. The Lord said, Henry, you didn't fail. You loved that pastor. You loved his work. And you don't want to hurt it. But you've got to love me over him. I said, well, I do. And he said, and what he taught me in that event was that whatever he tells me, I've got to say it. I've got to speak it. Because John and I, we are messengers of this kingdom that we're all in. We are messengers, and what he tells us, we've got to speak it. We can't pity around, play with it or anything, change it to make it suit you guys. We've got to say what we got to say. Can you say amen to that? I mean, you don't want a wishy-washy guy up here, do you? Is that right? You don't want wishy-washy in the kingdom. There's no place for wishy-washy in the kingdom. The only place for wishy-washy. We got to be bold. There's a word in Jeremiah that says that they have left off to be valiant for my truth. We got to be valiant for the truth of God. We've got to go after God's word. We have to speak what God tells us to speak, and don't try to embellish it. Is that right? Don't try to make it better for you to look better. Just speak what God has to say and do what he says to do. Is that okay? Is it all right? Hallelujah. So, in with all that, Micah chapter 6 verse 8. This is our power verse today. It says, he has showed me. Has God showed you anything? He showed you Jesus, didn't he? You got saved because God showed you his son. Is that okay? His Holy Spirit brought you to him so you could see Jesus. You see Jesus in the word of God. You see him. Sometimes you see him in his people. Amen? But he says, he has showed you, oh man, and I'm going to stick old woman in there, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. I like this. I love this scripture because it's telling you what he requires of us. Is that right? He requires us to do justly and to love mercy. Hi, Mercy. Where are you? Yeah. Everybody, you got to love mercy. Yep. How many love mercy? I mean, love mercy. I mean, you know, I'm talking about right now. I moved from this mercy to the mercy that God shows us. How many of you know that mercy is wonderful? Can you say amen to that? What you deserved, you don't get. Because he's merciful. Is that right? God, I love mercy. Amen?
Amen.
He showed you, O man and woman, what is good, what the Lord does require of you, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with God. Is that okay? Can you say amen? Walking humbly with God is an important thing. Jehoshaphat said when they were coming to attack him, there were millions, there was a multitude coming to attack him. And these are the words of Jehoshaphat, and this was 2 Chronicles 20:20, but it says, Jehoshaphat said, hear me, O Judah, and all you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. How many of you guys want to prosper?
Do you know when you have Jesus in your heart, you are a citizen of the kingdom of God? Is that right? Your Jerusalem is your capital city. Is that okay? Is that okay? You are a citizen of this kingdom. Hallelujah. And he says, believe the Lord. He says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established, and believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. God wants to prosper you. He desires to prosper you. He wants you to have everything that he has for you, but you've got to believe him. Is that okay? It's not okay to believe him on one thing and then not believe him on another thing. You have to believe him in everything that he says. Is that okay? Because truth is powerful.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Amen.
Truth is powerful.
Yes.
Truth isn't wishy-washy. Is that right? It's either all true or it's not true at all. Is that okay? It's either all true or not true at all. If it's half truth, it's not true. Is that okay? Does that relieve that? Truth is truth, and it is if you like driving cars, how many like driving? Truth is pedal to the metal all the way down. It's power, and it is. It's Jesus. Jesus said it this way, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. He's the way. He's the life. Is that okay? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. I want to look at a verse about fire. And this is Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 through 6. It's 12 o'clock, so if your roast is burning, it's okay. Bring it to me. I'll eat it. Yeah. Yeah. Here, I want you to look at this. I want you to look at the scripture because it's talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But I will say to you this, I mean, you can look at this in all the other translations. And I only found one called the Wycliffe Bible. You ever heard of the Wycliffe Bible? The Wycliffe has it like this. Every other Bible has it different. Every other Bible says something about boots on the ground. That's kind of today's lingo, I guess, boots on the ground. We're going to put boots on the ground in Iran or whatever. But I want you to look at this scripture because it's talking about the fire of the Holy Ghost. It says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. Who was that? Who is that great light? They've seen Jesus. Isaiah is prophesying. He's prophetically saying, talking about Jesus. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee, God, according to the joy of harvest. I threw God in there, so I'm sorry. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide a spoil. Only when it's going good for them, they rejoice. That's basically what he's saying. But then he says this, he says, for you have broken the yoke of his burden. See, Jesus took our sins and our burden, he placed it upon himself, and he broke that yoke off of us. Is that okay? And you became free. Is that all right?
Yeah.
For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder. On his shoulder. The staff on his shoulder, is that what the ladies used to carry the water in? Right? They bucket on each side and it's a stick. He's broken that. He's taken care of all of that.
Amen.
Can you go back just a minute, Terry? I'm sorry. Thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor. You see that? Who's the oppressor? Yeah. Yeah, you know, we all say it a lot of times. We've been taught. Isn't that right? We've been taught to say that the oppressor is the devil. But I will tell you over and over again that God is saying the oppressor that is on you is your old man. It's your old lifestyle. He's broken all of that, but your old lifestyle, the old what keeps coming back, that oppressor, that's what's oppressing you. Isn't that cool? The battle of the warriors is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. How many agree with that? When you're in a war, when you're in a battle,
yes,
it's with confused noise, bunch of guns going off and swords slanging, all this other stuff, and garments rolled in blood.
He says, but, everybody say but. But, everybody say but again. But this battle, look at this. This shall be with burning and fuel of fire. He's talking about the battle belongs to the Lord. It is the Holy Ghost. He does the fighting. He does the battling. Hallelujah. The next verse, the very next verse says, for unto us a child is born. A son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. Do you see that Isaiah is prophesying the fire of the Holy Ghost? Can you see it? Do you get it? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you realize how free you are? Do you realize that he loves you so much that he broke every oppression? He's going to break it and continue to break it till it oppresses you no more. Is that okay? Ah, it's a beautiful place to be, if you ask me. I believe that Jesus didn't walk in this kind of oppression at all. That's why his connection with his Father was so important to him. He didn't have it. He was going to break it for us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Proverbs 28:13 says this. He that covers his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsakes them shall have mercy. How many love mercy? Woo, I love mercy. Man, confess your sin and forsake them. Change your mind. Is that okay? Repent. Repent means a change of mind. Change your mind towards that thing. And you, man, watch this mercy begin to overtake you. Hallelujah. Proverbs 16:6 says this. By mercy, amen? And truth, iniquity is what? Purged. Completely cleansed by mercy and truth. See, Jesus is the truth part. He comes in to cleanse your... I said last week, God's gonna rearrange things in your life. Is that okay? Are you okay with that? God says he's gonna rearrange your furniture. Do you remember me telling you that last week? He's gonna rearrange your furniture. So what does that do? You know what? He's going to pull your throne down and he can set up his throne. He's going to rearrange that furniture. He's going to set himself on high in your heart. Can you say amen to that? That's what I want. I said, go ahead and rearrange my place, God. Mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. That's Proverbs 16:6. John chapter 14 says that, 14:6 says that Jesus said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to me but by my Father. And the last part I'm going to put of this, of walk humbly with your God. Love mercy, do justly, and walk humbly with God. We need to walk humbly. Can you say amen? Can I tell you that a humble person doesn't talk about another person? Is that okay? A humble person doesn't talk about a child of God. Because God has certain things he says about them. They are conquerors. They're more than conquerors. They are the beloved, is what God says about that other person. We are not allowed in this kingdom. If you're saying things about other people, especially of brothers and sisters, you are contrary to the kingdom of God, and God is listening. Do not expect the blessing that you should be getting because you're casting your seed on the ground and jumping on it. Can you say amen to that? This is called walking humbly with God when you stop doing those kind of things. Can you say amen to that? You don't believe me? Keep talking. You don't believe me? Keep talking about the brother or the sister. You don't believe? Just keep talking, because God will come knocking. Can you say amen to that? And you're not going to like it, because he likes, I'm not sure that he likes throwing us down. Boom. Boom. But he's going to get it out, because he says he's going to thoroughly cleanse our floor. Can you say amen? So walking humbly with God is watch this. James chapter 4:10 says this. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Is that right? humbling yourself doesn't mean, do you know what's happening when you're talking about other people? You're raising yourself above them. You're positioning yourself as a judge. It says this in the scriptures, and you position yourself as a judge over them. And God says, you better not do that. You better not be doing that. Anytime you're talking about somebody, you're criticizing somebody, and you say, you know, I shouldn't say this, but, and you say it, it's not helping you at all. Is that okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm not trying. Folks, you might not get that, but this is what God is saying to this house. Stop. Stop. Do you know that a house divided cannot stand? Do you know that?
Yes.
You got to believe what God has to say in the Word. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 14, verse 11 says this. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. No, for whosoever exalts himself shall be what? Abased. God, I've been abased enough. I know what it feels like to be at the bottom of the barrel, looking up at the barrel and smelling the bottom of the barrel. Can I tell you, the bottom of the barrel stinks. It doesn't. And to be below that thing is even worse. And I've been there. Because he wanted to teach me something. He took me there. I thank God for his mercy to take me into that thing. Praise God. Whosoever exalts himself shall be abased. He that humbles himself shall be what? Exalted. Philippians 2 verses 5 through 8. We're almost done. The roast is not burned yet. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You see what he's saying? Let this mind be in you. But made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Here is an obedience that goes all the way. Can you say amen to that? God is saying, are you willing to be obedient to die to yourself? To die to the old man. Are you willing? Are you willing? Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28 and 29. Everybody go, whew. This is the last scripture. Yeah, it's 10 after. I'm sorry. Hebrews 12, 28 and 29 says this. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom. Do you see, understand what he's saying? We are in a constant mode of receiving a kingdom, the kingdom of God. God, Jesus told us, pray, my kingdom come, thy will be done. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is heaven. We are receiving this kingdom today. Can you say amen to that? That's why you might be going through a lot of stuff that you don't want to be going through, but you're going through it. That's why your finances aren't so good, but God is saying something to you. He says, you need to walk humbly with me, understanding that what I tell you is true. When the word of God says, will a man rob God? He said, how do you rob God? In tithes and offerings. If you're not paying your tithes, let me tell you, this church, this place is a place where it needs your tithes. If you're not paying your tithes, you are robbing God. Do you understand that? If you take your tithe and you come to this church, you give it to another church and say, well, that was my tithe, God. God's saying, no, that wasn't a tithe. That was an offering. You better bring your tithe to the church. You better bring it in so there will be meat in my house, is what he says. So that you will, I'll tell you, because God wants to feed you. He wants you to know what he's doing in your life and how he's doing it. But you've got to walk humbly with God. Amos 3:3, this is the last scripture. God gave me this scripture this morning, so I'm going to give it to you last. If you're not walking with God, if you're walking with God, you're going to be humbly obeying and paying attention to his laws, looking at what he says. It says, can two walk together? Except they be agreed. Walking humbly with God. This is what Hosea 6. I want you to leave that one up there. So I'm gonna go to Hosea 6 again, and oh, it's at Micah 6. I'm sorry. Yeah, Micah 6. I got to Hosea 6. I go, oh, that's not it. Micah 6, 8 says, he has showed you, men and women of God, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. God doesn't need you rewriting his word to fit your agenda. Is that okay? Do you understand what I'm saying? God doesn't need you saying, well, what he needs you to do is walk with him. And that is how you will prosper. Is that okay? So bring your tithe into the storehouse. Offer offerings to those that are outside, or you can offer them in here or whatever. But walk humbly with God. Obey his word. Look at it. Read it. Pray. Love your neighbor. Forgive. Walk humbly with God. Forgive. God knows whether you've forgiven that person or not. He knows it. So walk humbly. Would you stand? Would you stand? Hallelujah. Man. Ooh, it's a good thing you got Pastor John preaching to you next week. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the instruction you've given us all this morning. Father, help us, Father God. Father God, help us to know. Holy Spirit, touch our heart when we're contrary to who you are in your kingdom, Father. Lord, hallelujah. Let your presence surround and minister to us, Father God, in a way that we desire more and more to walk humbly with you, God. We thank you for it, God, and we praise you for it, God. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters, Lord. Bless them. Watch over them. Be that shield upon them, Lord, as your word says. Create in them, Father God, clean hearts. Fill them with your spirit. Lead them by your spirit, Lord. Cause them to know the good things that you have for them. I thank you for it, God. In Jesus' name I pray. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Shake somebody's hand and tell them hi. And thank you for coming to church this morning. Glory to God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.